We'll be continuing on our preaching series, like Steve said, which is Prayer of the Saints. And particularly, we'll be looking and focusing on Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 to 19. But before we get into that passage, I'd like to tell you a story. A story about a young Muslim boy that was raised up in Islam and had no clue or any knowledge about any other faith or religion, until one fateful day that he was invited to a Christian conference where he listened to a preach on the Trinity of God, and he had an encounter with God. He met with the power of God, and his life was transformed, and he became a Christian. Now, I know that a lot of people raised up in Christian homes that probably still actually cannot really get the concept of Trinity, let alone for a Muslim boy that had no clue to just listen to that message, and his life was transformed. Now, that is the power of God at work. So, if we can get into our passage today, which is the Ephesians chapter 3. And by the way, if you're wondering who that boy is, I'm the one standing in front of you. God changed my life completely. So Ephesians in chapter 3, verse 16 to 19. And I read. It says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Shall we pray? Father, we just thank you this morning. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you come expressly in our midst, Lord, and you come and do only what you can do. As you had an encounter with me so many years ago, Lord, would you touch every heart here? For anyone that's probably just standing very on the fringe and not knowing exactly, Lord, this religion, this Christianity, what is it all about? Would you touch their heart this morning and bring them into the knowledge of who you truly are, into your love, that they may experience your power, Lord? And Lord, if there be any situation in our heart, in anyone's life here today as well, Lord, would you come and address those situations, oh Lord, and let everyone leave here this morning having received something tangible from you, Lord? For yours is the power, the glory, and the kingdom, in Jesus' name. So, Billy Graham, an American evangelist, once said that a prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. And he said that just to put focus on the importance of prayer in the life of any Christian. And I hope that our teaching in this scripture today will not only inspire us to pray more regularly, but also actually increase our passion and our love for prayer, even as Steve has said earlier, so that we might continue to pray, because there is power when we pray and God answers our prayers. So I'm looking to use three questions to put an insight on what this passage is all about. And the questions are, who is this prayer for? What is this prayer about? And why did Paul pray this prayer? So here in this passage that we've read, Paul was praying to the Christians in Ephesus. So these are people that have already put that trust and believe in him, just like I did so many years ago, and like every one of us here, as long as we were Christians. So this passage is very applicable to us as well, as we are Christians. So Paul was making us to realize that the minute we give our life to Christ, the minute we come into the kingdom of God, we are given the Holy Spirit. Is made readily available to us the minute we put our trust in him. And he says in the beginning part of this chapter, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, it says that, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed. You were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So Paul knew that for us to grasp all that he's going to talk about in this prayer, all that prayer that he's praying for us, we need the Holy Spirit to be able to enable us to be able to grasp everything that he's going to pray about. So he wasn't just praying for people to come and know Christ. He was praying for those that already know Christ, that they may be aware of the power that is available to them through the Holy Spirit, and they can access that power to do all that God is calling us to do. You know, 1 Corinthians, just to apologize, I'll be using a lot of scriptures because I like to use scriptures to explain scriptures. So just to say that ahead of time. So in 1 Corinthians 2:1-14, it says that the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that comes from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Holy Spirit. So Paul knew that for us to grasp this thing, we need the Holy Spirit. And it was making us aware that as Christians, we have that already. And because we have that, we can have access into what God and what Holy Spirit can do through us as we allow him to work in our hearts. And that leads me to what the prayer is all about. So what is this prayer about? So Paul here was praying and putting an emphasis on the power of God available to us as Christians through the Holy Spirit. And he wanted to make us realize that if we allow the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit can minister to our heart. And then we get to know Christ, the love of Christ that dwells richly in our heart. And then we'll be able to do everything that God is calling us to do. Because truly, without the power of God, we cannot do anything of our own accord. Without the power of God, we cannot do anything effectively. So he wants us to always depend and know that we have this power available to us and depend on the power of God through the Holy Spirit that we can then fulfill everything that he wants us to do. I mean, leading a church or leading a life group or everything else that we do that pertains to the kingdom of God, or even coming out to give word, you know, receiving the word from God and coming out to give that word, it can only be effective by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul was making us aware of that so that we can lean more and more on the Holy Spirit in everything that we do. And we lean on him more and more when we pray and pray together. So there's a story in the Bible in 1 Samuel 2:9. Now this story is about Anna. I don't know if you know the story. Anna is the mother of Samuel, one of the old prophets in the Old Testament. Now Anna had an issue. For a long time, she couldn't give birth. And people laughed at her. They mocked her. You know, and they called her all sorts of names. But Anna did not allow that to weigh her down. Anna went to the one that she knows was able to turn the situation around, able to make things happen, able to do the impossible. So Anna went to God in prayer. Naturally, anyone could easily say, well, do you know what? I'll just take it. This is what it is. This is how life is. I might as well just. But Anna did not do that. He knew that there's God that can do the impossible. So he went to God in prayer. I mean, it was a desperate prayer that Anna prayed. It was so desperate that even the priest at the time thought she was drunk with wine. You know, but God heard that cry and God answered Anna. And God gave Anna a son, gave Anna Samuel. So in 1 Samuel 2:9, Anna was now giving thanks back to God in appreciation of what he's seen God, the power of God at work in our life. So 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 9 says, he will guard the feet of the saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength no man shall prevail. Because Anna has realized that no one can do anything without the power of God. And so she was declaring as a thanksgiving prayer to God that, well, I've realized that by anyone's strength, we cannot do anything effectively, but only by the power of God and the strength of God. And that is what Anna declared in this prayer. And that is why Jesus Christ said to his disciples in Acts chapter 1, he said to them, do not depart from Jerusalem. Wait here until the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then you will be my witnesses to the very ends of the earth. And indeed, the disciples waited. And they waited. And when they waited, the Bible said they were in one accord, in one place, waiting for the Holy Spirit. Now, my understanding of that passage is they were not just waiting, looking at each other's faces. They were praying. And the Holy Spirit came upon them, and it manifested. And we can see, we read it in the Bible, how the Lord used them, and the evangelists went across the world to talk about the gospel, to talk about Christ, reason that Christ died for our sins, and to bring many of us. We're standing here because of the work of God through them. And Paul knew this. He knew the power that is at work through the Holy Spirit. And that's why in this passage he was praying that we become aware of this as well, that we may be empowered through the Holy Spirit. So Paul knew what he was talking about, because we know Paul as well. Paul had a vivid encounter with Jesus Christ on his way to Damascus. Paul was going to destroy a lot of Christians, but God met with him, and he experienced the power of God, and he walked with the Holy Spirit, and that he did all that God called him to do. We know all that Paul did, that God did through Paul, and he knew the power of God at work in him, and that's why he was laying this emphasis on this prayer to the new Christians in Ephesus, that the Holy Spirit is available to you. You need to access the Holy Spirit to be able to do all that God is calling you to do. And that's why we see Paul, even the first time he heard that there were new Christians in Ephesus, the first thing he did was, when he had the opportunity to go there, he went to them and said, "Oh, have you received the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "No." He said, "Well," he laid his hands on them and received the Holy Spirit and then start to walk in the power of God. So Paul knows the importance of the Holy Spirit. And he was trying to make us see that in this prayer, that we will be empowered by the Holy Spirit. But what is that empowerment? What will it make us to do? The empowerment is to allow Christ to dwell richly in our hearts, that we can then begin to access the love of God and know the height, the width, the length, the depth of this love. And we do that in prayer. We do that when we pray, because when we pray, we block off every other voice that's in the world that's trying to like get into us to make us think of other things, like Thomas was talking about this morning. But when we put that focus back on the Holy Spirit, it brings that out to us, and then it makes the love of God to continue to dwell richly in us, and we get to get access to the depth of it, the length of it, the width of it, which, to be honest with you, we can never get to the end of it till we meet with him in glory. But the more we do that, the more we allow the Holy Spirit, the more we know about the love of God. And when we know the love of God, then we realize that the power of God is only being made manifest through his love. And then we realize that God works with his love to show forth his power. I mean, in Philippians 1, chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, Jesus was saying, this was in Philippians, that was Paul writing in Philippians. He said, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." So the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is to enable us to access the depth of God's love. And then we realize that all that we do is out of love. And when we do it in the love as God has intended it, then we walk in the power of God. It states clearly in the Bible that God is love. And everything he does from the place of love. And this love surpasses human knowledge. We cannot grasp it except by the power, by the help of the Holy Spirit. And that's why, like I said earlier, he wasn't praying to non-Christians, because they would not be able to grasp the depth of this love we're talking about. But because we have the Holy Spirit, the minute we gave our life to Christ, the Holy Spirit is made available to us. That Holy Spirit then enables us to be able to access that love and know this love that surpasses knowledge, that is not love as the world knows it, is not superficial love, is the love of God that is gracious and non-judgmental, and it is beautiful. And that is what Paul was trying to lay the emphasis here. Again, in John chapter 15, verse 12 to 13, it says, this is Jesus Christ speaking. He said, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So this is just Jesus Christ speaking. He said, in everything we do, it must be done out of love. Even everything we do that pertains to ministry, and that then reflects in every area of our lives as well. Again, also in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 3, it says, if I speak in the tongues of men of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to the hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. So love is the fundamental thing. The power of God is his love, and his love is his power. And that's why Jesus Christ, in everything he did it in love. While he was on the face of the earth, he showed us that love. And he told us to always pray, because that is when we're empowered. Because this love, to really manifest the love of God, we need to constantly and continuously depend on the Holy Spirit. Because otherwise, we move in and start to think, well, I'm not sure I'm able to do that. I'm not, because we then get into walking in our own strength. But the more we depend on him, the more he strengthens us, the more he empowers us to love and to do everything that he's called us to in any areas of our life, in any ministry, do it in love and do it effectively. And then his name alone will be glorified in that. And then we'll see the beauty of his power coming through when we do that. So in conclusion, when we decided to follow Jesus, because we become Christians, the Holy Spirit is made available to us. And that Holy Spirit enables us to access everything that's available to us through the Holy Spirit. And then it also talks, in the passage that we read, it said, power together with Lord's holy people, which is praying again together. Because we can only access this in a place of prayer, so that we can be more and more like him. The more we dwell in the Holy Spirit, the more we walk with the Holy Spirit and allow Christ to dwell in our hearts richly, Christ, who is the manifest power of God, richly, thank you. The more we dwell, allow Christ to dwell richly in our heart, the more we become more and more like him. And we do that more in the place of prayer. Because like I said earlier, we can lose faith. We can lose heart in the things we do. Particularly, talking about Afghanistan, we hear these things and then we think, oh, where's God in this? Oh, but the more we rely on Christ and on the power that is available through the Holy Spirit, the more we know what to do, the more we know we need to get into our closet and pray for the situation, and he will empower us and make us to see things the way he sees things and help us to do what the things that we need to do. You know, there's a story, again, in the Old Testament. I love that story. It's a story about David. Let me just talk about that story as well. David did all. It's a very popular story. David brought down Goliath. Goliath was a mountain of a man, skilled in all that he knows how to. And Goliath came out, and he defiled the Israelites, the camp, and he told them that, you know what? Just bring somebody from your camp to fight against me. And if you can do that, then that's it. You guys have won. But they were all afraid. They cowered. They didn't know what to do. For 40 days, that's what the Bible says, until a more powerful person came along in the form of David. Now, David, obviously, did not have the strength to defeat Goliath. But David, more importantly, knew who he had on the inside of him. He knew he had God, and he knew he had the one who is bigger than anything else. He said he knew that greater is he that is in him than he who is in the world. And that's why when David actually came out to fight with Goliath, he declared it. He said, "You come against me with bows and arrows, but I come against you in the name of the Lord." Because he knew, and that's the strength that he depended on, not his own strength. And that resulted in the miraculous victory that we talk about till today. But because David knew who he carried on the inside of him. So this prayer by Paul is to wake us up, to make us realize what we have on the inside of us, and for us to access that. And how do we access that? By being in his presence regularly. And how do we get into his presence? By getting down on our knees and praying. So this whole series is to encourage us to pray, because there's power in praying. There's power when we pray. So God wants us to always pray. Even Jesus Christ said, he said, men ought to pray always and not faint, because that's where we're empowered. So please, let's not take our meeting together lightly. When we come and this prayer meeting, let's always strive to be there, because we not only, sharpen one another, but we power up each other. And then by that, we can then defeat our archenemy in every situation that he tries to hold us down. It's been amazing to see us as a church, with everything that's happened, Steve's health, Simo's health, but we all came together. Oh, I love the one we prayed. That's for 1 week in the morning. And we can see the result. Steve came here and gave us a testimony of what God has done. But that's through the prayer that we pray together. So this is just to always encourage. And we don't have sometimes, I know it's difficult for us to be here to come and pray, but we can always pray on our own as well, or find a prayer partner and find a time to get into that, prayer. So that even, it might be when you're driving. I drive quite a lot, and I do a lot of my prayer when I'm driving. I just get into it and I just... And then some other people might just be where they've got kids. It might just be when you're feeding your kids, or just find what is comfortable and suitable for you and pray, because there is where our power and our strength lies. Because we live in the world, and the things of the world come on us. They try to put us down, distract us. But the more we get into that prayer, the more we can then fulfill God's purpose for our life and then become more like Jesus Christ. For I'd like to conclude with this last verse, because it says, in the passage that we read, it said that we may be filled to the knowledge. Let me just read it exactly. That we might be filled. That we might be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So God wants us to be more and more like him. And in that last passage, he said in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says that so all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. So the more we stay in the place of prayer, when we make prayer like a lifestyle, then we become more and more like him. We begin to do things, we begin to hear, to see the way he sees. And that's why we're called Christians. We're called Christians because we follow Christ. And if you follow Christ, you want to be more and more like Christ. And we do that by leaning more into him, particularly in prayers. Myself and Titi went to visit the Charltons a couple of weeks ago. And Mel was telling us about an interview that someone had with a silversmith. And we all know that for silver to be refined, he has to undergo tremendous amount of heat. But the interesting thing that the silversmith said when he was asked, how do you know when the silver is at its purest form? And the silversmith said, when I can see my reflection in the silver. And that's what Christ wants to see. He wants to see his reflection on us. And the more, like the silver goes through tremendous heat, the more we lean in the Holy Spirit, the more we become more and more like him. And the more Christ can see, God can see his image on us. So we're going to have some time to pray this morning. Because if nothing else, first of all, we pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit afresh in every one of us, to make us aware of that which we have on the inside of us. Because we can go through life as Christians and not aware of what we carry and what we have on the inside of us. But we're going to pray that God will fill us anew with his Holy Spirit And that Holy Spirit will empower Jesus Christ to dwell richly in our hearts, that we can then know the love of God, the height of it, the width of it, the length, the depth of it, through the Holy, through Christ dwelling in us, so that we can then fulfill every purpose and every plan that God has for us. In the name of Jesus. If the band can please come up, and if we can rise to our feet. You know, Jesus said in John 14, 12 to 14, he said, "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than this, because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it." So as we pray, God will answer our prayers, because he's promised in his word that he would answer when we call to him anything. And what are we asking for? We're asking for the Holy Spirit. We're asking that the Holy Spirit will come upon us anew. And we're asking that we will wake up to the realization of the Holy Spirit, the power that's available in us through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may continually dwell in our hearts, that we'll become more and more like Christ. Be in love, knowing the love of God beyond comprehension, the depth of the love of God, and then do everything that we do in love. So if we pray, if you just start to pray, just ask God, the Holy Spirit, to come afresh. Let's just start, Holy Spirit, would you come upon us anew, even as we gather here this morning? Would you come, O Lord? We ask, we are open, our hearts, our minds are open, that we may receive you, Lord. Come, O Lord. Come, make us aware of your presence in us, O Lord. And help us to begin to dwell, to be able to allow Christ to dwell richly in our hearts, that we can know your love. Your love that surpasses all understanding, all knowledge, that we can get the depth, O Lord, the width of it, the height of your love, so that we can be more and more, be filled to the full measure of God in everything that we do, Lord. Lord, we're asking for your empowerment this morning, O Lord, and the empowerment to give us the grace to cultivate prayer as a lifestyle, that we will continually be in your presence, asking, depending on you, hearing from you, and walking in that which you're leading us to do. Lord, come, O Lord, we pray. Come, O Lord, this morning. We ask, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Come, Heavenly Father. We worship you, we glorify your name, Lord.